We keep talking about accountability, but how really do you keep people accountable? Dr. Rubenstein talked about, you have about 30 different things that you measure currently. There are probably 10 that if you're not hitting, you know, at the highest levels, you're on a destiny to fail, right? So we need to identify those 10. Yeah, we monitor on the dashboard all 30, but identify the top 10 priorities and make sure that if we're not hitting those, we know we're in trouble. So we need to prioritize in that way. And we need to create metrics not just for the hospital, but for all the other affiliated institutions like Mile Square or others. There was conversation also about the hospital in and of itself. It's kind of an old model. It's the model of the previous generation, and coming to a place where you receive service is being the old model. Dr. Krishnan said we need to develop the next model, whether it's a combination of Mile Square and affiliated services out there. How do you get people? Let me look at my notes here for a second. How do you get people to consider our accountable care organization their medical home? Because at the end of the day, the medical home is where it's going to be in terms of realizing some of the revenues that we need to provide continued quality care. Finally, let me see. I cannot underemphasize the fact that we can't delay, that we need to move on developing this plan as soon as possible, empower President Easter to empower others under him to get moving on that and support him throughout the entire process. We also want to talk about the, in terms of the the three missions of the organization, the teaching, the research, and the clinical care. We heard clearly from Dr. Rubenstein that you can't ignore any one of them. They're all equally important, but you have to prioritize and set metrics throughout. I think that the final thing I'll say is that the spirit that we had in this, some sacrifice, and whether it's at the president's level, vice president, dean's, chancellor level, we are going to have to sacrifice a little bit of our turf and power so that the enterprise moves forward. So that's our report. I'm sure I missed some things, but if Pam, you want to fill in some gaps?
The only thing I would add, Rick, is when we were talking about question three, we had a good discussion around patient experience.
That's right.
People had some anecdotal pieces of information about their patient experiences. The metrics tell us things about patient experience. We do now have, you know, we're learning a lot as we go, but there is a very, very highly qualified chief experience officer now in place, and the fact that that position was created and a good person is there, it's starting to show improvement. So we talked about having VP on every patient file. Yeah. So not just the VPs get the VP treatment, but every patient gets the VP treatment.
Yeah. And to that point, we have a new vice president of patient experience, but there are several great people that were brought on to the team. And I think one of the things that we also mentioned is we ought to make sure we keep some of those terrific people that were brought on to this team.
Very good. Thanks, Rick. All right, the next group was group two that I tried to facilitate, and Jim Montgomery tried to make sense out of all that with Peg Madonna, if you also. Jim?
I must say we had an outstanding group that had a lot to say, and so you're going to hear some tidbits of what we had to say. And as you'll see on the board, is it up there yet? No. Maybe we ought to put it up there. Is that question number one? Anyhow, question number one was, how do we leverage our strengths in education, research, and clinical care to become an innovator in the changing healthcare environment, including new models of care delivery? Our first question that we raised, what is unique about us and what strength do we have? And the answer was, we have diverse population benefits in that it